Chapter 12, verses 1-8. A living sacrifice. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in a view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Humble service in the body of Christ. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith of God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Amen.
Well, let us again join our hearts together in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come now to hear your word preached for the first time in 2026, we ask that your Holy Spirit would open our hearts to receive what you want us to receive this morning. Oh God, we know that you have called each one of us here at Craig Owl Church for a purpose. Would you help us to understand again what it means to live out this calling in the year ahead? And through your word this morning, Lord, would you give us wisdom and give us courage? And above all, give us a deeper love for you and for one another. Amen. There is something really special about the beginning of a new year. It's always full of new possibilities and promise. We make resolutions. We set goals. We make promises to ourselves and to others that we usually break. And then we think about all the things that we really want to get done in the months ahead. Did you know that, I looked this up, 88% of New Year's resolutions fail within the first 2 weeks in January. That's frightening. 88% within the first 2 weeks in January. And as I was thinking and praying about what God wanted me to say this morning, I kept coming back to this question. What does it actually mean for us as Christians to live out our calling? You know, to actually live it out day by day, week by week, and throughout this entire year that's in front of us. Over a few weeks of preaching, 2 weeks before Advent, and then last Sunday morning, we did a wee short series on When God Calls. We looked at the calling of Moses, Abraham, and then last week was God calling young Samuel. We saw that God calls ordinary people to do extraordinary things. We learned that God equips those that he calls, and that our weaknesses are never, ever a disqualification. We also saw that learning to hear God's voice is a lifelong journey. But now comes the really important question. What do we do with all of that? How do we take these important truths and actually live them out in our everyday lives? That's exactly what Paul was speaking about in Romans chapter 12 that Gillian read for us there. And you notice something right from the start. Paul begins this chapter with the word therefore. He says, therefore. Whenever we see therefore in Scripture, we need to ask ourselves what it's there for. And in this case, Paul has just spent the last 11 chapters speaking about the most magnificent theology that you'll find anywhere in the Bible. It's theology of the gospel. Phenomenal. 11 chapters of theology all about the gospel. He explains that we're all sinners. We're separated from God. He's shown us that God sent Jesus to die on the cross for our sins, taking the punishment that we deserved. He's taught us that we're saved by grace through faith and not by our own works. And he's also spoke about the wonderful truth that nothing, absolutely nothing, can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. And then after all of that, Paul says, therefore. So he is saying that because of everything God has done for us in Christ, because of the mercy that we have received, because of the grace that's been poured out on us, therefore, this is how we should live. And this is what our calling actually looks like, how we live out our calling. So Paul starts in verse 1. He says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Think about what Paul is saying here. In the Old Testament, when people wanted to worship God, they brought a sacrifice to the temple. Paul says that's not what God wants from us anymore. Jesus has already been the perfect sacrifice. He's already died on the cross for our sins. There's no more animal sacrifices needed. Instead, God wants us to offer ourselves as living sacrifices. And you know, this is so important for us to understand. Living out our calling doesn't mean we have to do anything big or dramatic. Living out our calling means just offering our ordinary, everyday lives to God as an act of worship. It means when we wake up in the morning, before our feet even hit the floor, we say, Lord, I offer myself to you. Use me however you want. This day belongs to you. It means when we go to our work, we work for God, not just our employer. It means when we're at home with our family, we love them the way that Christ loves the church. It means that every conversation and every moment of our day becomes a chance to worship God by living for him. This is what Paul means by a living sacrifice. I know this is not easy, definitely not easy. But please remember, we are not called to be anywhere near perfect this side of the glory. Because if we were perfect, then Jesus would never have to have died for us. We are flawed human beings. What is that you've heard me saying before? I always heard it said, if you find a perfect church, don't join it because you'll ruin it. Because it's just full of people, isn't it? And the other one you've heard me saying a lot is people say to me, I'm not coming to church, it's full of hypocrites. And then I say, come in, there's room for one more. And after that, I say, that's all right, because we're flawed. None of us live up to the standard we even set for ourselves, let alone the standard that God is setting for us. It doesn't change who God is. You know, we might sometimes, you know, play Jesus badly, of course, because we're human. It does not change who God is, absolutely not. And notice Paul calls it true and proper worship. Real worship isn't just about what happens on Sunday morning when we gather together and sing songs. Real worship is offering our entire selves to God day in and day out. We spoke about that on the fourth Sunday in Advent. That was 2 weeks ago when I was preaching on the Magnificat. But then Paul says something else important. Verse 2, he says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. If we're being honest this morning, that's where I think we can really struggle. I know that I struggle with this. We live in a world that's constantly trying to squeeze us into its shape. And you know, if we're not careful, we start thinking like the world thinks. And we actually start living like everyone else lives. We can so easily conform to the pattern of this world without even realizing it's happening. It's so easily done. But Paul says, don't do that. Don't let the world shape you to look like everyone else. Instead, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And how does that happen? Well, it happens when we spend time in God's word and we pray. It happens when we gather together with other believers, which we do in church. It happens as the Holy Spirit works in us, changing the way we think, our priorities, our values, our desires. That's a daily work. And then when that transformation happens, Paul says that we'll be able to discern what God's will is for us. We'll be able to see what he wants us to do. We'll be able to recognise his voice calling us to serve him in different ways. And then Paul gets really practical, starting in verse 3. He begins to talk about spiritual gifts and how we're meant to use them. He says, "For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith that God has distributed to each of you." So you notice what Paul's doing here. He's speaking about two potential problems that can happen when we start thinking about our spiritual gifts and our calling. The first problem's pride. Some people think too highly of themselves. They look at their gifts and abilities and think, you know, I'm really important. The church definitely needs me. I'm better than other people. Pride is in us all, very, very deep rooted in the human condition. But Paul says, don't do that. That's not the attitude that God wants from us. But you know, there's a second problem that's just as dangerous. And I actually think this is one that I've witnessed over so many years in my ministry journey. And that's the problem often of people thinking too lowly of themselves. Many people look at what they do and think, I don't really have anything to offer. And Paul says, don't do that either. Paul says we need to think of ourselves with sober judgment, and we need to see ourselves accurately the way that God sees us. And God always sees the potential, always, always sees the best version of ourselves. And the truth is that every single one of us here this morning has been given faith by God. And with that faith comes gifts and abilities that we're all meant to use for his glory and for the good of the church. Paul goes on in verse 4. He says, "For just as each of you is one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body. Each member belongs to all the others." This picture of the church as a body is one of Paul's favourite images. It's absolutely brilliant. And like I was doing with the young folks there, if you think about your physical body, we've got eyes, we've got ears, we've got feet, heart, lungs, stomach. Every single part of the body has a different function. And it's amazing that every single part is necessary for the body to function well. Every part has a role to play. And when all the parts work together, the body works the way it's supposed to work. And Paul says that's exactly what the church is like. We're all different. We all have different gifts. We all have different abilities. We all have different roles to play. But we all belong to one another. And we all need each other. And you know, as I think about our folks, our congregation here at Craig Hill, I see a lot of faithful people who have been serving God for so many years. I see people who have given decades of their lives to our two legacy churches, teaching Sunday school, leading ministries, serving in committees, welcoming newcomers, maintaining the building, doing all sorts of work that's needed to be done over so many years. And I also see that some folks are getting older. They're maybe not able to do the things that they once did. Some are struggling with health issues. Some just don't have the energy that they had 30 or 40 years ago. And I want you to know that I see that and I totally understand that. But here's what we all need to hear this morning. You are still part of the body. You still have a massive, massive role to play. Your calling definitely hasn't ended because you can no longer do the things that you once were able to do. Maybe you used to teach in the Sunday school, or you were involved in youth work in some way, but you can't do that anymore. That's okay, because you can pray for the teachers. You can encourage them. You can speak words of wisdom to them from your years of experience. Maybe you used to lead a ministry, but you had to step back. That's okay. But you can mentor someone who's younger. You can share with them what you've learned. You can be that wise voice that helps the next generation to avoid the mistakes that you made and build on the successes that you had. You see, Paul didn't say that only young people are healthy people our energetic people are part of the body. He says we all are part of the body, every single one of us, and we all need each other. And then verses 6 to 8 become so important. Paul says we have different gifts according to the grace given to to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it's serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it's to encourage, then give encouragement. If it's giving, then give generously. If it's to lead, do it diligently. And if it's to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Notice what Paul is saying here. There are different gifts, and not everyone has the same gift. Not everyone is called to do the same thing. But whatever gift you have, then you have to use it. If God has given you the gift of encouragement, then encourage people. You know, we can encourage people with a phone call, a wee card, a word of thanks. We see them on a Sunday morning. You're so good at doing that to me. Just how much you've built me up so far as your time as being your minister here. It's been amazing, so thank you. And if God has given you the gift of showing mercy, then show mercy cheerfully. Visit someone who's struggling, listen to them, or just spend time with them on the phone. And I know we've got a lot of folks who do that as well. It's amazing. We might not be able to physically get to visit people, but speaking to them on the phone is so important. And I think I've intimated before about I really do like the fact that you've been coming to me and letting me know who needs a visit, who could do with a phone call or a visit. So please keep doing that. And remember, it doesn't have to be people who are not here. This could also be people who are still regularly attending a Sunday morning, but you might know things that are going on with them that I don't know, or you might notice that they could do with, you know, me having a wee visit with them. So please keep that coming. It really, really helps. The point is, we all have something to offer, and we all have a part to play. And living out our calling means working out what God has gifted us to do, and then doing it faithfully for his glory. You know, as we think about the year ahead at Craig Hill Church, I'm really excited, but I'm also realistic. We have challenges and limitations. Of course we do. But you know what? That's okay. Because God doesn't need us to be big or impressive. He just needs us to be faithful. We're starting to work on the 5-year plan just now. We've got a wee small kind of working group, and that'll go back to the session, and we'll discuss that. And I put out the original one, I just kind of started it a wee bit, and I think I probably was a wee bit too ambitious, and a lot of the feedback, you know, is we do have to be realistic, and of course we do have to be realistic, but it's amazing to think about God, what God's going to do in this year ahead in the church. Phenomenal. God needs us to use whatever gifts he's given us, however small they might seem, and offer them back to him as living sacrifices. And you know, the beautiful truth that keeps all this together is that this is not even about us. It's all about Jesus. Everything we do, every gift we use, every act of service, everything that happens, it all points to him. Jesus is the one who offered himself as the living sacrifice for us. He's the one who lived the perfect life that we couldn't live. He's the one who died the death that we deserve to die. And you know, he's the one who rose again to give us life. And he's the one who now lives in us by his Holy Spirit, which empowers us to live for him. When we offer our bodies as living sacrifices, we are simply just responding to what Jesus has already done for us. When we refuse to conform to the patterns of this world, we are shown that we belong to him, and we are citizens of a different kingdom. That we're living for something far greater than what this world can offer. So as we step into this new year, my prayer for us here at Craig Hill Church is that we would continue to be a community of living sacrifices, and that we would be a body that works together with every member contributing what they can for the glory of God. Some of us might serve in big, visible ways. Some of us might serve in small, quiet ways. And what matters isn't how big or impressive it looks. What matters is that we are faithful with what God has given to us. This is what living out our calling looks like. It's just offering our everyday lives to God as an act of worship, being transformed by his Spirit, and using whatever gifts he's given us to serve him and serve one another. And you know, when we do that, something really beautiful happens. The world sees something different in us. They see a community of people who aren't living for themselves, who aren't measuring success by the world's standards. And they wonder why. And that gives us then an opportunity to tell them about Jesus. You know, when someone first took me along to church all them years ago, I was not going for any of this stuff. I was just going to try and get better people around about me at that time. But you know what? I saw something different, drastically different in these people. I knew they had something that I never, and I absolutely pursued to find out what it was. It was what I saw in them. They were different, and I knew they had something I never had. So let me ask us all this morning, what is God calling us to do this year? How's he asking us to offer ourselves as living sacrifices? And what gifts has he given us that need to be used for his glory? Maybe it's something big, something small. As I said there, the size doesn't matter. What matters is that we say yes. What matters is that we are faithful in whatever he has given to us. What matters is that we live out our calling and the power of the Spirit who lives in us. And let's definitely not measure success in terms of numbers. I'm putting that in because I can get caught up in that as well. That we, in church, we often want to measure success in terms of numbers, don't we? How many were there? How many? And it's good to keep a track on that. And I do get encouraged when we're busy and we have more people. Of course, we are encouraged by that. But the success we should be measuring is, what impact are we making? What difference are we making in people's lives? So I just want to remind us all of that, because I can be the worst for that, asking how many were there and telling people there was a lot of people there. This will be my first full year as your minister, and I'm so grateful to be on this journey with you. I don't know everything that the year has planned for us. I cannot predict all the challenges we'll face or the opportunities that we'll have, but I do know this: God is faithful. He has called us to be his people here at Craig Owl Church, and he will give us everything we need to live out that calling. So let's step into 2026 with faith and with hope. Let's be living sacrifices together. Let's be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Let's use our gifts to serve one another and to bring glory to God. And let's trust that as we do, God will be glorified and we will grow stronger together as one body here at Craig Hill Church. Amen.